We've said many times there are several kinds of prayers in the Bible. We hit on that last Sunday when we had our fifth Sunday prayer and praise time together. We are familiar with the different kinds of prayers, and some of them are pretty self-explanatory. Like prayers of praise and thanksgiving. You see those words there, praise and thanksgiving. You attach them to the word prayer, and you pretty much know what kind of prayer that is. Then we move to prayers of petition, prayers of intercession. And we try to distinguish between those two, like we did last Sunday, by saying that prayers of petition are prayers that we normally offer for ourselves, praying for yourself. Nothing wrong with that. Jesus prayed for himself. So we offer prayers of petition. We are petitioning God to do something. Most of the time, that's what we're doing. Prayers of intercession are prayers that we offer on other people's behalf. We are priests, the Bible says, and part of our responsibility as being the priesthood of all believers is to represent God to people and people to God. And so when we pray for others, when we intercede for others, we are representing them before God, taking them into God's presence. And we are asking God to do something for that person or for those people. Now, having said all that, I believe that, and you saw the screen just a second ago, that the most common prayer that we pray when it comes to prayers of petition or prayers of intercession can be paraphrased two words. Right? Bless us or bless them. Okay, when we're praying prayers of petition, we're asking God to bless me or bless us. When we are praying for other people, we are essentially asking God to bless them. The most common prayer we pray, I believe, is bless me or them. That's not being critical. I want us to analyze what that means today so that we can appreciate more the biblical power of the word bless. What does it mean? And we say that all the time. You know, we say things like, bless me, bless you, bless everybody. You know, when we ask for ourselves from God for guidance, or for healing, or for understanding, insight, wisdom, safe travel, whatever it may be, we are asking God to bless us. And then we pray that for others. If we pray for others to have understanding or wisdom, insight, if we ask God to heal them, we are asking God to bless them. Bless us, bless them. Bless us, bless them. Blessings. We pray about them. We read about them. We even sing about them. You know, there shall be showers of blessings, we sing. Oh, count your many blessings. We sing that, you know, Thanksgiving time. God bless America. We sing that usually, you know, around the 4th of July or other days that are appropriate for thinking of our nation. And this we sing every Sunday. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Every Sunday, that's the doxology. The word doxology means a word of praise, right? And this is a word of praise, you know, praising God from whom all blessings flow. And then we use the word blessing or the word bless like, you know, when someone sneezes, we usually say, God bless you. That comes from the old idea that people used to think, very superstitious, and I think this dates back to the Middle Ages, that when someone sneezed, they thought that the soul was trying to escape the body, and hence people said, God bless you! Ashley, God bless you! Next time you sneeze, God bless you, you know. And so it's the idea there of God protect you and keep your soul where it should be. Bless your heart. Now, that's sort of a funny phrase. That's, people are laughing already, aren't we? You can say just about anything about anybody if you follow it up with, bless his heart. Bless her heart. Man, that was a stupid thing for him to do, but bless his heart, you know. And so it's a Southern thing, I believe. Jenny pointed that out at the 8:45 worship hour. And it is true. And you can just about say anything about anybody if you say, bless their heart. So bless him, bless her, bless them, bless us. We pray for blessings upon, you know, ministries, trips, surgeries, etc. So we, if we do not actually use the word bless in a prayer petition or thanksgiving or an intercession, that's what we're asking God to do, to bless somebody or to bless us. And that's a serious thing. Maybe that word bless is one of those words that has lost its power within our contemporary Christian vocabulary. But we need to rediscover it, I believe, because there's power and purpose in the word bless. And when we ask God to bless, we're not asking God to provide good luck, good fortune. It's not wishing somebody well. You know, it's not a coincidence. We're talking about providence when we use the word bless. So, let's consider what a biblical blessing is really all about. And that might help us when we offer prayers of petition or intercession. Two categories of blessings. If this is familiar to you, it should be familiar, because we sort of looked at this when we looked at our series, The Gravity of Grace. The gravity of God's grace keeps us in our place. And we said then that there are two kinds of grace. Well, the word grace and blessings, the word grace and blessing is sort of synonymous, at least for our purpose today. So just like there's common grace and special grace, there's common blessings and special blessings. Common blessings are the things God does to everybody, the whole world. It's common blessing. We sort of get that idea from Matthew 5:45, where Jesus talks about God causing His Son, S-U-N, to rise on the good and the evil people. See, that's a blessing upon all people. The Son. Everyday life. He also says, and He sends the rain, which in biblical thinking, rain was a great blessing. And He sends the rain on both the unrighteous and the righteous. So common blessings. Then you have the special blessings, which are only for those who are in Christ. Special grace, special blessings. Let's take a little blessings tour of the New Testament and Old Testament. We're not going to look at many passages, but enough to sort of get the idea across to us. Let's define the word first of all. In the New Testament, the word to bless means to speak well over. Also, to do good to. So when you piece together, you take something here, and you take something there, you take something there from the New Testament, and you put them all together, this is the basic fundamental definition of the New Testament's teaching of what it means to bless. Now, this concept of speaking well about, all right, you've heard of the word eulogy, haven't you? We've all attended funerals where eulogies were spoken. Well, the word eulogy is the word in the Greek New Testament meaning to speak well about, to bless. When we are asking God to bless us, we are asking Him to speak well over us. God's word is powerful. What He speaks comes about. Nothing can stop it. But coupled with that is the idea of doing good for another person. A gift bestowed, a favor performed. So that idea is there in the words to bless. So we can summarize the New Testament's teaching of what it means to bless: good words and good works. So keep that in mind when you pray for a blessing for yourself or for somebody else. Well, let's look at a few passages in the Bible. This is John chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. And in that text, Jesus is described in a very beautiful way. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Full of it. I mean, there's nobody in the history of the world with more grace and truth than Jesus. He's full of it. And John also says, and from the fullness of His grace, we receive grace upon grace. Now that's the literal translation. An interpretation would be blessing upon blessing. Because the concept of God gracing us and blessing us are practically one and the same. We receive from Jesus, and this is special grace, special blessing. We receive blessing, one blessing after another. That God, through Jesus, He does speak well about us. He speaks well over us. And consequently, He does good things to us and for us. Well, this is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This is what Paul has to say about blessings in Christ. Let's read. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms in Christ. He has blessed us, and it's in Christ. He's referring to special blessings there. God blesses those who are in a covenant relationship in Jesus in ways that He does not bless those who are outside of the covenant. Common grace, common blessing, special blessing, special grace. Here is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Ready? Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So here Peter is teaching us, hey, bless others. Be a blessing to others. You were called to inherit a blessing. Share that with others. Give it away. Speak well about others. Do good to others. Good words, good works. Blessings in the New Testament. So we go over to the Old Testament, and we see some good teachings in the Bible about that. And some people have difficulty reconciling both the Old and New Testaments. I don't. Same God in the Old, same God in the New. He's been working His plan ever since the Garden of Eden. And in the Old Testament, we read a lot about blessings. So this has to do with the creation of Adam and Eve. And God blessed them. He spoke well over them, and He did good to them. Let's read. Ready? When God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. Put them in the garden. This is what I want you to do. Be fruitful and multiply. And of course, we also know what they did. They ate something they shouldn't have eaten. They disobeyed God and sin entered the world. But you know what? God still watched over them and loved them, and He still blessed the human race. Now, this is a promise of a blessing to Abraham, which comes clear down even now to 2018. So this is what He says to Abraham. Let's read. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And that last part of this blessing promise is a reference to the coming of the Messiah through the seed of Abraham. And we are all blessed through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, God, you might say, is pretty big on blessings. Speaking well over His people and doing good to His people. Nothing wrong with that. Now we come to the focus of our message this morning. We read in the Bible a lot of prayers, and a lot of them will use the word bless. Sometimes it's in reference to God, like, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, speak well of the Lord, O my soul. Do good for the Lord and to the Lord, O my soul. But there are also prayers in the Bible in which the blessings come this way, from Him to us. And there's a text in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. It is called the priestly benediction, or the priestly blessing. The word benediction comes from the Latin word meaning good words. Isn't that something? Good words. Sort of goes along with, you know, the word blessing, doesn't it? And a benediction typically is at the end of a worship service, before people are dismissed. Like, we sing a benediction song for the most part, asking God to bless us in several ways. Grace us. May my faith be strong and true, Lord. In the Old Testament, God told the high priest Aaron that when the people come together, you are to dismiss them with this prayer. And then consequently, throughout all generations, they did that. I would imagine Jesus heard this prayer thousands of times in His life, and maybe used this prayer Himself thousands of times. But let's read it together. Ready? It's called the priestly benediction. It was a very important and powerful prayer in the Old Testament. Ready? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Oh, you talk about a prayer full of authority. That prayer right there is. Notice, you know, the words bless, keep, shine, gracious, peace. Those are beautiful words. There's power in them, their words, you might say. Promise, hope, and security in those words. Blessings that we are asking God to rain down upon God's people. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, that He lifted His hands and He blessed His disciples. It could be that Jesus pronounced over them that prayer. Could be. Could be. Because it was an important prayer for God's people. Now, there is something curious about the Old Testament word for prayer or for blessing. I need to go back one here, don't I? In the Old Testament, the word blessing also means to wish well. It came to mean a bountiful gift. And so when you summarize the Old Testament word for blessing, we come right back to good words and good works. But there's another meaning to the Old Testament word to bless. It came from a word meaning to bend at the knee. So you can see, can't you, a person coming before God and bending at the knee. Or also, maybe it was a subject of a kingdom, coming into the presence of royalty, bending at the knee. It's the idea of showing respect and honor and humility and reverence, to bend at the knee. So when we put all of these concepts together in the Old Testament, the word blessing, we're talking about to speak well of somebody, to wish well, a bountiful gift, to do good. But what has it to do with to bend at the knee? We're asking God to bless us. Are we asking God to kneel before us? No, we're not asking God to do that. For God to kneel. To kneel to worship us. To kneel to praise us. No, we praise Him. We submit to Him. We kneel to Him, don't we? But. I submit to you that God did indeed kneel. He knelt and He spoke well about us, spoke good words over us, and He did good to us. What do you think happened in Bethlehem? where God came down in person, in flesh. You talk about kneeling, coming down to our level for the purpose of blessing us. And look what he did on the cross in Jerusalem. God kneeling to speak well over us and to do good to us. Sometimes, and perhaps most of the time, God blesses us in ways that we do not really understand or appreciate or even know about. Blessings in disguises, we call them. That's a common phrase. Well, that was a blessing in disguise. And I do think God does that. Something happens. We don't know why. And then maybe a week or two or a month or a year later, we go, now I know why that happened. Blessing in disguise. And for the most part, I think our blessings we don't appreciate until after the fact. Because you see, blessings do not usually explode upon the scene like fireworks on the 4th of July. That it seems to me that blessings usually appear gradually. Like when a morning fog evaporates and reveals to us a pretty scene. And sometimes the fog needs to evaporate and dissipate in order for us to see. I think that's how it is with blessings sometimes. They're not always fast and obvious. They're usually slow and obscure, blessings are. It could be that God has answered a million prayers when we ask Him to bless us or bless them, and He's done that, but we're just not spiritually sensitive enough to see it. Sometimes God's blessings were powerful and quick. Think of the Red Sea parting. Boom! You talk about a sudden blessing. Or Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. That was a sudden, you know, right there, right then, a real-time blessing that everybody could see. Other times, the blessings sort of gradually appeared because of the way we see things. So this brings us to our big thing here. Let's read. Blessings. Just because we don't always see them doesn't mean that they're not there. That's true, isn't it? Most of the time we do not see the mysterious ways in which He works until after the fact. And we begin like a detective putting pieces together, seeing a clue here, and a clue there, and a fingerprint here, and a fingerprint there, and then finally a picture comes into our minds, and it's God. He did bless us, and we just didn't know it. There is a teaching in the New Testament that sort of ties all of this together, that I believe helps us understand the priestly benediction in number 6. And it's a text you know by heart. But let's read. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Again, not a common grace and not common blessing, but a special grace, special blessing. For those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. But notice that God works for the good. That's just another way of saying He blesses. He speaks well over and He does good too. Good words and good works. So, we come to the end of our time together, and what we're going to do today is we're going to pray that prayer over us. And I changed one word from you to us. All right? So, instead of praying the Lord bless you and keep you, we are going to pray, Lord bless us and keep us. Man, we need your blessing. We need your power to keep us where we need to be, the gravity of your grace, you might say, once again. So let's stand, please. Let's stand. This will be our good word, our benediction this morning. Ready? The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord turn His face toward us and give us peace. Amen to that.